Got Your Ears On is brought to you by Tactical Legion Knives. Live from the campus of Tom Radio, under the direction of Guido, Stu, and Johnson, it's the pride of podcasting. It's Got Your Ears On.
All right, everybody, hello and welcome to this week's episode of Got Your Ears On. I'm Guido along with Scoop. And Johnson.
Heyo.
Heyo, Johnson.
Heyo.
Heyo. Johnson, it sounds like it's been a week, is what it says.
It has been a week.
It's been a week. Actually, it's been a couple of weeks since we've talked.
Yeah, that's true.
Fine listeners.
Yeah, that's true.
We appreciate it. And a couple things have happened kind of interesting in those that time period. One of which is Brian Carrington, who is like the director of recruiting, I think, for University of Texas, tweeted out this potential annual earnings with the name and likeness that's going to get voted on. And kind of crazy. I thought it was kind of insane to look
well,
at this.
Yeah, I mean, it's a graphic and a half. So he's listed here like potential annual earnings, and we'll include this in the post for the show, but he's got popular NCAA athlete names, what sport they play, how many social, you know, different Twitter, Instagram, you know, what their social media following is, and then their potential earnings based on their name, image, and likeness. So Guido, there's some big numbers on here.
Yeah, and that's, I think, what threw me the most is that at the top of that list is Sam Ehlinger from Texas, quarterback of Texas, right? He has 192,000 Twitter and Instagram followers combined. His post, his value per post is about $3,200. So that's a potential earning of almost $1 million, $960,000. A year on Twitter posts.
So you're saying...
I don't understand that. I don't understand.
What you're saying is, if I was an athlete for the University of Texas, he would be second on the list.
Yes, because of all of your 12 kid. Twitter followers.
Yeah. That's what my we following. Were thinking.
Yes.
Worth $1 million a post.
I like to think that my posts mean a little bit more because I don't post as often, probably.
Maybe. Maybe that's what it is.
A little bit more value per post.
A little more value to it.
Yeah, a little. Yeah.
I hear you. But I think what else? So the numbers were just ridiculous. So, you know.
But isn't it interesting when you. So, you know, we've been kicking this NIL stuff around, but when you see someone make an attempt to quantify it and put dollars out there in front of you, like.
And keep in mind that this is just earnings off of like social media posts. So this is just earnings off of like. Him drinking Coca-Cola and getting paid for it by Coca-Cola.
But doesn't it suddenly start to hit home with you though when you see a graphic like this? I mean, that's
so now you're talking about I think that's where it hit with me is now you're talking about a kid who's getting free education at UT, which I mean Matthew McConaughey teaches there, so can't be that good of an education. But he gets free education at Texas.
All right.
And then he gets paid $1 million a year to, you know, to drink a soda.
If I'm a player, I see this graphic and I go, where do I get started on this? Like, let's go.
Right. And I think the other thing it starts to hurt, though, and this is the part that, you know, that starts to become interesting to think about is the recruiting aspect of this. So does a player now start thinking, you know, if I go to a Texas or if I go to a Florida or if I go to... you know, in Alabama, but if I go to one of these schools that is bigger and I get more hype,
as
my earnings going to be better than if I went to a WVU.
Well, and I would think the school would even, I mean, they would use, why wouldn't you? You would use that in your recruiting as well, right?
I
mean,
which I think is what he's doing, in this tweet right here.
What if you are, you guys remember the quarterback for Houston?
Okay. Yeah.
King. I think his last name was King. Right. Derek King. Right.
Yep.
He played 4 games this year, right? And then shut it down because he decided he was going to redshirt. I don't know if he had the final say in that or if Dana Holgorsen had the final say, but by and large, he seemed to be probably on a path toward the NFL. Maybe he wasn't going to be one of those guys that was going to be drafted high. So here's the question. Are we going to see guys try to prolong their college experience because they think they could make more money, you know, in 5 years, 6 years of college somehow by, maybe, you know, redshirting or, you know, trying to come up with some sort of hardship or some reason to possibly get a, you know, it's rare, but to get a sixth year so they can still kind of make some money while in college because maybe they're not going to get drafted as high or maybe they're not going to get drafted at all.
Right.
And this is a way for them to still kind
of
hang on. And so
that, Scoot, that also brings up another interesting fact of some of the other names on this list aren't even basketball, men's basketball or football players. Like there were a couple of women's basketball players, Dana Evans from Louisville. You know, she has 21,000 Instagram, Twitter followers. They say that it's about $300, $350 per post. That puts her at like $34,000 a year. So like now you're starting to see, all right, well, now you have other people that can start to make money.
Yeah.
There are a couple of women's gymnasts out there that have crazy amount of followers on Instagram. And now they can have these, you know, these posts and they can make $50,000, $60,000, $70,000 a year.
Well, but Scoot, know. In your example, though, you know, for King, I mean, he's still limited to his eligibility, though. I don't think he's. Has he been granted another season with Houston?
I think last time I read, he's in the portal. He was transferring. At one point, he said he wasn't transferring. He went in, because everyone said, oh, he's transferring after he shut it down after four games. And then he said, no, I'm not shutting it down. And then season was over and he's transferring. So like,
well, to me, that's an interesting point that you bring up. But I think to me, it's still like Guido said at the top that it's to, you know, if you have a couple people really have some success with NIL earnings, then I would think the school would turn around and say, hey, here's another reason why you should come here. We are good at this. You right. know, people, the following for our school is big, yada, yada, yada. And that weighs into your potential earnings. I think it would be, and who wouldn't want to maximize that? If you're a kid coming out as a big recruit, who wouldn't want to maximize that?
Does it create contempt amongst the players for that one or two guys that are commanding a lot of money? And, you know, I think that it could become an issue for guys in the locker room where they feel like those one or two guys may be getting treated differently by the coaching staff or by the people surrounding the university. You know, we want to make sure we keep so-and-so happy because he seems to be commanding quite a following. Or let's say you're, we'll use Austin Kendall, right? Because he was a quarterback. So he's the starting quarterback and his following is...
He's got 12,000 followers. Yeah. He's got 12,000 followers.
And next week he's on the bench and they've decided to go with a different quarterback.
Right.
Now you're going to probably crush his earning potential because he's not the guy.
Yeah, but right. I think you're right. It certainly could be a breeding ground for that kind of thing, but not to me, like part of me, the cynical side of me says not any more so than it already is with that. Like, cause we already know that a handful of guys on the whole roster get treated with a different.
I just think
anyway.
You add money and now you start people's salaries, yeah, it's not a salary, yeah. But when you start messing with somebody's salary,
sure.
That becomes a little bit more of a heated issue.
I agree.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I see your point.
It's going to be interesting because, and especially like maybe in football, it's one thing because you will only have maybe a handful of guys that are automatically going to rise to the top of followers being, you know, a lineman aren't going to get as many followers as a wide receiver or a quarterback. Basketball is where it gets interesting though, because now you've got five guys or depending on how deep the bench is, six or seven guys who get a lot of playing time and they generally have about the same amount of followers. And so now, you know, does Oscar get benched and does he get mad because you know, it's going to be interesting. It's going to be super crazy. Yeah,
it could be a weird dynamic. You're right.
I think bad box to open.
Right. It might be because then you look at, like, if you go to any WVU player's, you know, Instagram right now, it's them wearing WVU stuff. It's Oscar practicing in the gym wearing WVU stuff. And then is that going to be next to a picture of him, you know, I keep going back to drinking a Coca-Cola or, you know, wearing a whatever T-shirt that, you know, he's selling. And then how does that start to play where, you know, the name and likeness has those rules about it can't be with school.
And then you start to think about, like, in basketball, think about shoes.
Right.
The shoe world is going to be crazy.
It's going to be crazy.
I don't like it.
It's going to be insane. It's going
to be the old man to me said, I don't like it.
Do I get to call you an old man for that? You're
always
calling me a, that's a very old man thing of you to say, Scoot.
Yeah, why can't they just stay the way they were? Back
in
my day.
In my day, we wore the Chuck Taylors and we liked it.
We didn't have Instagram. If somebody wanted to see a picture of us, we'd have to go to the store, get it printed out, and show it to
them. We had Telegram back in my day.
So anyways, it'll be interesting to continue to follow, and I'll be interested to see what happens when it gets down to the West Virginia players. I'm interested to see, like, how much does Jared Dagey get for an Instagram post?
Well, and so is it going to be a situation where the rich get richer, right? So is it going to be, you know, if you're a basketball player and now WVU's competing with, let's say they're after Jamin Brakefield, who ended up going to Duke, who played at Huntington Prep. And let's say it was down to WVU and Duke, and everything is equal except for the fact that Duke's got a stronger following, which means probably more money for him. So now, you know, WVU and some of these other schools, you know, like Iowa, right. A school, you know, just a random school, Iowa State, right. That, you know, could be competing for somebody really good or talented. And without this, they might have landed that guy.
Right.
But now, you know.
And I think as a coach and as a recruiter, it makes it hard because now that connection is different.
Yeah, right. Sure. Yeah.
It's not that he wanted to come play with Huggins. He may have wanted to go to the place that he could get the most Instagram followers.
Yeah, right. You know? Right.
So it'll be crazy. So, but in good news, speaking of people committing to West Virginia, we've had a couple of this week. It's turned out well for us. We have Caden Prather. Is that how you say it? Prather?
I believe so, yep.
Prather.
Four-star recruit out of Maryland. He was like one of the top 20 wide receivers out right now.
Yeah,
I think
so 13th ranked recruit in the state of Maryland.
Yeah.
He also had Penn State, which just like low-key makes me so happy that they didn't get him and we did. Oklahoma, South Carolina, and Maryland. Good for Maryland for at least recognizing he was in their state.
This won't surprise you, Johnson, but there is a very strong connection. I believe he speaks fluent French because there is a very strong connection with...
You think there's some Gérard Paquet?
Gérard Paquet.
Oh, wow. That is.
Mais oui, c'est bon.
Air France offense.
So... So the tweet that I saw from Alan Taylor the other day, he had, yeah, you know what, Scoot? Now that I read the rest of this, he's saying that Monsieur Pacquiao offered him when he was the OC at Penn State. So I think you're on to something.
Yes,
there.
brought the relationship with him.
He and probably, you know, crazy? Also offered him some croissant.
Oui? Some beignets? They have some beignets? What's interesting, and sometimes I think we forget this kind of stuff, but when you have coaching changes, those are some things in the back of the head coach or the coaches that are making these decisions' minds. You know, if you've got a recruit that you're really coveting and you know that Gérard Paquet has a pretty strong relationship with him, like, guys get hired because of their relationship with recruits all the time.
Right.
College basketball, football. I mean, if you have a good relationship with recruits, the head coach knows, hey, you know what? I got a pretty good chance of landing this guy that I want. Typically, I'd have no shot. So let me see if I can get this guy on my staff, and maybe he'll bring some of these relationships with him.
Speaking of coaches, guys, moving on to soccer real quick. Scoot, your man, Dan Stratford, he got named the MEC Sports Coach of the Year. He's men's sports coach of the year.
From his time at the University of Charleston.
Yeah, right. So, and now he's our head coach at WVU. So kudos to him. Congrats to him on getting that award from the Mountain East.
I just thought Scoot would be excited on the soccer front.
I do like the soccer. We often get on the back burner and you get slighted.
We'll put you on the back burner all the time. A little bit of soccer news for people out there.
Yes, always good. Yeah, recently they had the big virtual 5K. All the coaches were running with their shirts for raising money.
Explain this virtual 5K to me.
Does that mean I get to virtually run it?
I think you just have to run 5K somewhere.
Virtually?
I think you actually do
run
it.
And you just put your time in? Do you still get the free t-shirt?
Yeah,
you probably do.
Probably do.
You don't have the people handing you drinks along the way. Do they do that at 5Ks?
Some
of them, yeah, I think so.
5K is not really long enough for you. I'm going to say the three of us
are not candidates to run a 5K anytime soon.
You may remember that we talked about my running of a 5K.
That's right.
Year.
You that's did true. Run a 5K. You did run a 5K. I forgot about that.
How quickly
when's
you
the next
forget.
5K? When's the next 5K? Yeah. When are you going to run a virtual
never.
5K?
I forgot all about that. Yes. I remember you ran alongside the lady in the all purple outfit. She finished ahead of you. She was a 74-year-old speedster. With a fanny pack, and she finished ahead of you. But
I survived.
5K is not something I ever really want to do.
No.
And I think my time would be good if I had something chasing.
Like a man with a gun.
More like a dog. I'm more worried about a dog than I am a man with a gun. Like, if you give me some sort of, like, dog that is upset, I'm going to run as fast as you've ever seen me run. I mean, I'm taking off. That's the only way I run a 5K. All
right. It's not that long of a distance, Scoot. I almost feel like
we
should have a competition.
Was it 2.3 miles or something?
3 miles. It's like 3.1 miles, I think.
Anything over a mile, I don't like.
So in other news, one last thing, a little bit of Big 12 talk right here. Johnson, Oklahoma State basketball, having some issues. Having a little problem.
Yeah, so this just popped up the other day, and I made a note of it. I follow a bunch of Big 12 sports writers, and Bill Haston, hopefully I'm saying that right, I follow him. He writes for the Tulsa World in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and he had just kind of reminded everyone, I forgot that, I guess, Oklahoma State had gotten caught up in all of the recent spate of NCAA basketball violations. They had a I think his name was Lamont Evans, was a former assistant coach. That has led to them recently being levied a level one infraction, which in his article, Bill Haston refers to as, you know, you can kind of you can liken that to a first degree, quote unquote, which seems
that's
like
rough.
Kind of
it seems a little well, rough. And
he goes on to say this. This really is unfortunate for them because I think, you know, it was one of those things that he was only there for a period of time, I guess, right after Brad Underwood was their coach, and they fired him immediately when he got arrested and blah, blah, blah. They say he acted.
I forgot about Brad Underwood.
Yeah, remember that?
Right. That was like 1 year, right? That couldn't have been more than 1 year.
And then he went on to Illinois.
Travis Ford.
So the sanctions are, it's terrible. So it's no postseason play at the end of the 2020-21 season. They have to forego reduction of 3 scholarships between now and 2023, reduction in the number of official visits made by recruited athletes, and they're also on a 3-year probation period. So it's it's serious.
And so
I think Evans was, for a period of time, an assistant coach with Mike Boynton.
Okay.
It's relevant. But the reason Guido and I were talking about this pre-show was, if you read Haston's article, he goes on to say like how bad this, you know, this level one infraction is, and how this thing that OSU did was, considered a level one, and that's why they were, you know, having these punishments leveled against them. And he goes on to say, in other news, Kansas has been charged with 5 level one rules violations.
They get an automatic bid to the Final Four
so
next year.
That's what Guido and I were talking about. And I hate to be so cynical about it like that. But as soon as I read that, you know, Haston writes the article saying they must be now feeling, quote, sick with dread. And I thought, are they worried?
No.
It feels like nothing ever really happens, right? So It'll be interesting to see.
It's the same thing we talked about with like UNC. It's like those programs are so bulletproof. Like the Kansas, the UNC's. I mean, I'm not saying anything's ever happened to Kentucky or Duke, but all those programs are so bulletproof because of the quality, because of the amount of, you know, NBA players.
They have an element of Teflon about them. None of this stuff.
Like, what do they get? I think the NCAA looks at it like they looked at UNC with the whole, they did everybody's homework for them and like said, don't do that again, guys.
Well, and I just thought this one in particular was relevant for us just being in the conference. And, you know, now they're speculating with all of this stuff coming down. You know, they've gotten some really, like, Boynton's worked hard to get some nice recruits. Now they're worried that those guys will look elsewhere. You know, they don't want to try to weather
one of the number
this.
One recruits has reopened his recruitment.
Right. I think, is that Cunningham? Is that
yes.
the, okay.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, Cade Cunningham. So anyway, it just caught my attention, Guido. I thought it was relevant, and I hate it for OSU. I mean, if that was something that WVU was dealing with, that would just make you feel sick. So
I guess we won't be worried about going to the Iba Gallagher.
Oh, that's
Super
right.
Superdome.
Yes.
Historic Iba Gallagher.
I think it's Gallagher Iba, right?
Gallagher Iba? I don't know.
Why is it an Iba? Is that a name?
I don't.
Yeah.
I think that's what it is.
Yeah, I mean,
sure,
it's a coach's
acronym.
No, it was a coach's name.
I think it's like a half a hyphenate. It's like two coaches.
Right. No, I think it's one guy.
Oh, he had a hyphenated name.
I believe. Actually,
this
I have no idea what I'm talking about.
This is a
about.
Very uninteresting conversation.
Well, at the time, Scoot was really reeling on the name. I went and looked it up, and now I can't remember. So it's very informative
Iba.
From me. You're
Iba
welcome.
Gallagher Iba. Well, listen, let's take a quick break. We're going to come back with everybody's favorite segment, Bluff the Fluffs. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. You're listening to Got Your Ears On.
Vortech Knives is a West Virginia-owned and operated company specializing in high-quality steel, fast-opening, everyday carry-in knives. If you go to VortechKnives.com today and use the code GYEO, you get a 25% discount on your entire order. That's Vortech, V-O-R-T-E-K, Knives.com, a West Virginia-owned and operated company specializing in fast-opening, high-quality, everyday carry knives. Vortech Knives.
All right, welcome back to Got Your Ears On, Guido, along with Scoot and Johnson. Don't forget, check us out on the social medias. You can find us on Twitter and Instagram at Got Your Ears. So definitely get on there, find us, like us, subscribe, and listen. Guys, it's time for everybody's favorite segment, Bluff the Fluffs. It's our Got Your Ears On game show. And Johnson,
or as I like to call it, the game that I win every week, Scoot.
Yeah, is it really, Scooty? I mean, it's not really a game show when Johnson wins.
You know, it's not a rivalry until, like it's competitive, right? I mean, if I win every week, is it really?
I don't want to throw any shade here, folks, but clearly this game show is rigged. It's been rigged from the get-go. Johnson, he has what we like to call game show low self-esteem. So in order for him to continuously play, we have to kind of skew the questions for him. We have to slant the point totals. This has all been scripted and predetermined. It's kind of like the WWE.
It is. That is not game show. That is 100% false. You guys have no idea. You don't even know what tonight's topic
That's
is.
That's right, Scoot. There's no slanting.
Don't even try to be like you know something.
There's no slanting.
So Johnson currently has the lead, 4-1. Last time we did this, he beat him on how much things cost, food and whatnot. So good job, Johnson. This week, this might be your week, Scoot. I have a feeling that, because you were so good on your feet, you had that soccer background, so you know how to kick things. So I thought this week we'd talk about kickers, WVU kickers.
Oh, dear
All right.
God.
Oh, I love it already. I already have some kicker names popping into the dome piece, Scoot. You are in trouble.
We'll see how we make out. Before we started tonight, folks, we had a complete random flip of the coin where we picked to see who goes first. And Johnson, congratulations. Yes. You get to go first this week after the flip of the coin. Mm. And the first question is, Boom. Do you guys remember, a correct answer is worth 5 points, a steal is worth 10, and final bluff is worth 25. First question, Johnson. These are all multiple choice this week. First question, Johnson. Who was the kicker on the 1988 WVU Fiesta Bowl team? Was it A, Charlie Bauman, B, Tyler Bittencourt, C, Frank Nestor, or D, Todd James?
So I want Charlie Bauman to be the answer to every one of these questions secretly, so I'm definitely going with Charlie Bauman.
That's correct. Charlie Bauman was the kicker on the Fiesta Bowl team of 1988 that almost was a national champion.
So close.
Almost. We always say that, almost. All right, Johnson, you take the lead 5-0. Scooty, this next question is back to you. Yes. Who holds the record at WVU for the most PATs, point after attempts, in a season? Is it A, Pat McAfee, B, Tyler Bittencourt, C, Evan Staley, or D, Mike Molina?
Hmm. Well, these are all fairly recent kickers.
Correct.
I'm going to say Tyler Bittencourt.
That's correct. There we go. We're all tied up. 2 correct answers, guys. Right off the top. Good job.
Now, was that career, Guido, or career. Was that in a that season?
That is in a season. That is in one season. I should throw a little bit of thanks out to WVStats.com. WVStats.com is the place to go to get any
of
these answers.
Yeah, agreed.
So, all right, next one. Johnson, back to you. Okay. All tied up 5-5.
Let's do this.
Paul Woodside and Josh Lambert are tied. They hold the record for the longest field goal in West Virginia University history. How long is that field goal? Is it 53 yards, 59 yards, 62 yards, or 55 yards?
Wow, this is a tough one, and I'm a Woodside fan. I'm going to go with a 59-yarder.
Ooh. I'm sorry, that's incorrect, Johnson. It is not. Scoot, 10 points and the steal.
It was actually a little farther than that, Johnson. It was 62 yards.
I'm sorry, Scoot, that's incorrect. The correct answer is 55 yards.
Okay. Oh. All right.
I've never hit anything longer than a 55.
I mean, which foot do you want me to kick it with?
You can do it. You can do both, either foot.
How long of a field goal do you think you could kick?
Realistically?
No, that's a bad question. Strike that. Not that you think you could, because you think you could kick like a 70-yarder pro.
So but realistically.
What do you feel like right now you could walk out in the backyard and 15?
No. I think 40.
40? Not a chance.
There's absolutely no
35 to 40.
There's absolutely. This is fake.
I think 35 to 40, left footed. Right foot. Right foot would have to be a little shorter. Right foot's my accuracy foot.
Ooh, oh, man.
All right. Well, nobody gets any points for that one. And so we're still tied up at 5 apiece. And we're back to you, Scooty, on this one. With 10,934, who holds the record for total punt yards in WVU history? Is it Nick O'Toole, Pat McAfee, Steve Suprick, or Todd Sauber?
Ooh, that's a tough one. Because I feel like Pat McAfee was on some decent teams. He's probably not going to be punting as much. Nick O'Toole, wasn't he a transfer? I think he was a transfer. So he probably wasn't there long enough. I'm going to go Todd Sauerbrunn.
That's incorrect. Todd had 8,181 total punt yards. Johnson, for the 10 points in the steal.
I think, Scoot, your logic is sound. And Todd Sauerbrunn, unfortunately, 94 happened, but he was on some really good teams like 92, 93. So I'm going to go with Suprick.
That's correct. 82 to 85, he had 10,934 total punt yards.
A lot of punts.
Weren't very good back then, were we? And Scoot, you were right on, though, because like Pat McAfee only had 5,000 punt yards. And, you know, he was on those teams that all they did was score. So he didn't ever, I don't
500.
Think he
ever.
O'Toole wasn't there long enough, I don't think, to do
anything. He actually, O'Toole is second with 8,800.
Oh, so. Wow.
That 82-85 stretch was not great. That was not great. Johnson with the steal and takes a 15-5 lead over Scoot. And we're back to you, Johnson, here. Who holds the record for the longest punt of 90 yards in West Virginia University history? Is it Todd Sauerbrunn, Nick O'Toole, Brian West, or Phil Brady?
This one I'm going to go Todd Sauerbrunn.
That's correct. He has he hit the long punt 90 yards.
90. Scoot, can you imagine that 90? Well, Scoot, you probably
Scoot,
can.
Scoot
right?
could. He
because
does it every
I'm
week.
Assuming you're going to say that's a Tuesday for it, you, right?
Which foot? Left or right?
Which foot? Left or right? All right. So Johnson continuing to pull away from you, Scooty, 20-5. Scoot, next one is to you. What WVU kicker holds the record for the most career points at WVU? So it is a kicker who holds the record for the most career points, and it's one of these four kickers. Is it Josh Lambert, Charlie Bauman, Pat McAfee, or Tyler Bittencourt?
Well, it's a tough one. For me, it's a toss-up between two guys. Most career points?
Most career points.
I'm going to say Tyler Bittencourt again.
That's incorrect. He is not. Johnson, to you in the steal. You got Lambert, Bauman, and McAfee.
No, this is a softball. This one is Mr. Pat McAfee.
That is correct. It was a softball, a complete softball. I thought so too. So he has the most with 384 total points, Pat McAfee.
Which is why we need to have him back at Mountaineer Field.
He needs to be in the WVU Hall of Fame.
Yes, all of
like,
that.
Like, that's just, can we just
all
do it?
All of that. Like, it just needs to occur.
Hashtag retire 40.
Yes.
He was 40, right? He was number 40?
I think you're right, yeah.
I think you're correct, yes, number 40. All right, guys, so listen, we are down to final bluff, and the best you can do, Scoot, is tie it up here. Now, we have Johnson has a 30-5 lead. Always for final bluff, how it works is the guys get to buzz in. So let's hear some buzzers. Scoot, what's your buzzer going to sound like this week?
It's good!
All right, and Johnson?
Ramps.
Oh,
Johnson's creativity is just
hey, I'm
just
going with
downhill.
What I know. It's been a winner for 3 weeks now.
It's true. It has been a winner. It has been a winner. All right. So,
and look, I'm trying to garner a small additional following in the Richwood area. And so I feel like
the
that's
corridor.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Isn't that where we said the ramp capital was?
Yeah, it's Richwood. Route, what is that, 19? I think runs through there.
We called that the ramp corridor ramp, right? Is what
probably
we called
it. It probably starts in Flatwoods and goes down to Richwood.
All right, so here is the final bluff for this week, guys. So get ready, get your buzzers ready. Last year, Josh Groudon was our punter. How many total punting yards did Josh Groudon have last year? All right, remember, not that great last year. Had a little rough season last year. You know, a lot of punting for him. Was it 2,212 yards, 3,152 yards, 2,718 yards, or 2,636 yards?
It's good!
All right, Scoot's in. He gets the first one. Scoot, what is your guess?
I'm going with 2,012 yards was the first one, whatever the first one was.
2,000. So here they are again. 2,212. That's what you're going with?
Yes.
Sorry, Scoot. That is incorrect.
Can I potentially pile on here?
You can pile on right here.
So I think it's 2,700, that option that you gave.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's not correct. That's close, though. So I put two really close together there.
Does he lose points because he didn't buzz in?
No.
No.
He
no,
did not he buzz in. He just gave an answer.
2,636 yards last year.
That still seems like a lot.
It still was a lot of punting yards. Still was a ton of punting yards. And his long last year was 62. He had a 62-yarder last year. So hope Josh is doing well. We love
that. Yeah, that was great talking to him.
So once again, Johnson continues to be victorious. He now has a 5-1 lead over Scoot on Bluff the Fluffs. Scoot, what do you want next week to be? I'll just make it whatever you want it to be.
Can you do like types of macaroni and cheese.
Yeah, right. Like types of cheese.
Yes.
That's what we types could do. Of cheese. We need something to help you out. Definitely.
80s sitcoms.
Yeah, maybe.
Like
we could
characters
do that.
And actors. Perhaps.
Like all
songs.
Michael J. Fox questions.
I would get
all questions about Michael
Hits
J. Fox.
Hits by the Looking Glass.
There's just one hit by the Looking Glass. Brandy, she is a fine girl. So sorry, Scoot. It's a rough go for you, man.
Well,
you've got to get a win.
Since
so
this game
am
show
I
is
4-1 now.
Five to one.
Since this game show is scripted, we already knew this was going to happen. So I, my outrage has all been written by you. And here in parentheses, I'm supposed to say, "Man, I'm really mad."
Oh man!
You're
all
such
right,
a
well,
good
listen,
actor.
Folks, well, maybe next week we'll throw Scooty a softball and he can answer some questions. At least get something right. So Johnson wins 30-5. Scoot got one question right. No steals. Johnson continues to win. Guys, listen, we'll be back right after this. You're listening to Got Your Ears On.
Tactical Legion Knives, a West Virginia-owned and operated company that specializes in heavy-duty tactical knives and gear for the professional warrior, the weekend warrior, and the outdoor warrior. Our products are built tough. For who? For warriors. Hey, Mountaineer fans, make sure you go on Amazon and search Tactical Legion Knives. And when you do, make sure you put in the promo code 25TOBRADIO for Tob Radio. You'll get 25% off on Tactical Legion Knives.
All right, welcome back to Got Your Ears On, Guido, along with Scoot and Johnson. Don't forget, check out our website, gotyourearson.com. You don't even need the www. You could just go there, and you can find out cool stuff.
Yeah,
right,
I think the www is implied. Like, if you want to play fast and loose with your W's, Scoot? Can I say W's?
W's, yeah.
W's. Then, look, you want to forego the W's, forego the W's.
I mean, you don't have to do the HTTPS ... right?
It's implied.
Right.
So you don't need any of that.
You don't need any of that stuff. Just go to gotyourearson.com and then peruse to your heart's consistently content.
I think that's what you were going to say.
As long as your heart's consent.
Your heart's consent.
Yes.
Is that what you were going
to
say?
No, I mean, you don't need any consent to come to the website. Look, go to the website. You can listen to the show right via the link on the site if you want to be lazy. I mean, it's right there. You can just click on it. And then all the links to what we talked about in the show are right in the show notes. So check it out.
Nice. All right. So definitely check it out. GotYourEarsOn.com. Guys, it's time for our segment that we like to call, I Can't Believe My Ears.
Scoot, what can't your ears believe?
Okay. Well, this story made some national news.
Okay.
It's a story based out of West Virginia. Have you guys ever... and maybe you probably did this more when you were younger. You knew you might be in hot water, so you tried to come up with a way to avoid getting in trouble.
Sure.
I mean, I think that's pretty common.
Yeah,
as a youngster.
A young person problem. Yes.
For example, I was a young child. For whatever reason, my neighbor had a window laying on their yard. They were replacing windows.
Okay.
Much like Window World, I wanted to see if the window could hold my weight.
All right.
That was not a good idea.
You gave it the weight challenge.
It could not. So then I did everything I could to act like that wasn't me that did that.
Right.
And it didn't go over really well because I had to go, once my parents realized it was me, then I had to it was maybe a bigger production than it needed to be where I had to go apologize, knock on the door, apologize.
You gotta go the walk of shame to the neighbors. And...
Yes. The story I have for you is a lady from West Virginia. I don't know if you heard a while back,
lady.
A couple weeks ago, there was supposedly a woman who had fallen over the overlook at the New River Gorge Bridge.
Oh, I didn't know this.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Scoot,
does that make you nervous to talk? Because you've said before you don't even like driving across there.
I don't like driving.
You think the walls need to be higher.
I agree. I 100% agree with that. It is deceptively high. Like,
yes.
You're on this bridge. You feel, okay, if I'm in the middle lanes, I feel okay.
Well, now I feel like they've done some nuanced warning to you, Scoot, by referring to it as a gorge. Like, normally... True. That should connotate like that's not a that's
for
a pretty
me
steep
when
deal.
I think of when I think of gorge,
yeah,
I think of eating foods I like.
Oh, okay.
So that's
gorging
I have a different
on
gorge.
Your mac and cheese,
right?
Yeah,
right,
right.
So anyway, this lady. Supposedly fell over, and it caused a big issue. Husband reported it. They sent rescue teams.
Well, I mean, was she ultimately okay?
She was in her closet at home.
Oh, okay.
What?
She never fell over the edge. She had been sentenced to 10 years in prison.
Ooh, okay.
And was trying to stage her own death.
It's fakey death time.
Wow. Faking her own death.
Wow.
And I think it was like healthcare fraud of some kind is what. So, I mean, not that any kind of crime is good crime, but I think it was going to be more like a white-collar crime type prison
now,
that she's going to be going
to. Now, was the family
to.
In on it? Like, was the husband,
husband
in on this?
Husband was in on it. They're not sure if they're going to charge the son. They don't know how much the son knew about it. But
Guido,
yeah,
Guido, I'm just thinking it's one of those things where the police come to question you and you say, "What?" Like, I'm just picturing that conversation like, nope, can't find her, very distraught. Don't look
in
that closet.
I haven't seen
her.
Don't
go over there. I haven't seen
her. She fell.
Shh, mom, be quiet. Stop yelling in the closet.
Yeah, in the closet is where she was.
Wow.
I think they searched for 3 days.
I'm happy she's okay, but...
And then, I mean, it was staged enough where they threw clothes and some of her items down the gorge. Like,
oh, wow. Okay.
Oh, wow.
I mean, it was like a kind of a big.
why is this random t-shirt right here?
She's like, I hate this t-shirt. Throw that one. Like, did she pick the ones that she didn't like?
Right.
Did she say, you know what? Here's an old phone. Let's throw my old phone down the creek. Like,
I don't feel like it was a very well thought out plan.
It's not a creek. You do this every time we bring it up. It's a river.
It's a river. It's called the New River.
That's the worst name for all rivers. Hey, what do you call it? Hey, I haven't seen this one before. Let's call it the New River. Come on. Cheat Lake. Come on. Like, come on. Can we get some names that make sense?
You're going to have everyone now tweeting at you not to make fun of their favorite locations in the state.
If they're college athletes, they're going to be racking in the cash, apparently, based on how much they get paid or could get paid for their tweets.
Could get paid for their tweets.
So that is my can't believe yours. Unfortunately, it's bad news for fellow West Virginians.
That's rough. That is rough. I can't believe my ears either.
Now, Johnson, did you have something that maybe you couldn't believe with your ears?
I have a quick one that my ears could. You want to talk about your ears? Wait till you hear what my ears couldn't believe. Scoot.
Okay,
it's like a dueling can't believe my ears.
Wait till I lay this one on you. So this was just a tweet. I don't really have a background story, and it's more of you need to see the photo. So I'll post that. But there's a tweet earlier this week from AP, from just the AP. And it said a man and a woman demonstrate dining under a plastic shield in a Paris restaurant as restaurants in food-loving France prepare to reopen. Some are investing in lampshade-like plastic shields to protect diners from the virus. And now what you need for context, and again, I'll post this, but it's these plastic see-through lampshades that have been like lowered from the ceiling, and they create like a cone of silence around each diner.
Yeah, around each diner.
And then it just shows two Parisians just
ooh, that's nice.
Casually acting like there aren't big pieces of plastic enveloped around their seats. And it just caught my attention. Scoot, my ears could not believe that when my eyes saw it.
I feel like this coronavirus is going to make people feel like they are in... And I've got family members, and I've been in houses like this. And for whatever reason, it feels like, the people that I've been in these houses were Italians, because I was in a big Italian area where I grew up.
You're speaking with your hands on the
I am
Zoom
speaking with my hands,
right now,
and I am Italian. But a lot of plastic on the furniture
yeah,
is kind of how I feel like humans are going to become like the furniture, and we're going to put them in plastic. I think of, like, you know, the when you go to buy a comforter or a duvet cover.
Yes.
They come in those big plastic square things.
Yes.
That's what I envision these diners eating in.
Descriptive things is a great descriptor of this story right now.
These things.
You know those things?
Cubes. Plastic cubes.
Yes. I know what you're talking about.
Here's what I want to know, Scoot. Like, would you go to a restaurant and eat with one of these cones of shame around you?
I submit that Scoot would like it better.
Maybe. You know what? They look like upside down wine glasses on your head.
It is.
It's like they put a wine glass over top of you.
It looks exactly like that.
They do look like upside down wine glasses on top of you.
It looks exactly
like
I don't think I want to go out to eat that bad that I would like sit in a cone of silence.
I feel like the cost of such items, I don't know, man. I don't know. I feel like that's an added expense that maybe not necessary for restaurants.
Well, like, I guess what the practicality of it is what caught my attention, because what if I need you to pass me something at the table? I got to somehow work it under my cone of silence into your cone of silence.
So I imagine I'm not supposed to touch the cone of silence,
well,
right?
Right. Like, so do so we
do
not
you have
share...
to like dive and dip in to get into your wine glass, your upside down wine glass?
But I'm now reminded, since I saved this tweet, that one of the things that cracked me up was like, half a dozen responses down. You know, a lot of the times to these tweets, the comments are where the gold is found, right?
Right.
There's someone responded back with the video of, remember in the movie, I think it was like Airplane 2, where they have the love scene where they're both wearing body condoms?
Yeah, right.
That's what they tweet. And that I was like, oh, I forgot about that scene. That is hilarious.
Yeah, these people look crazy. That's a better can't believe my ears.
That might be a better.
Was thinking, I don't know that I would go to I would maybe just eat at home if I had to do that. So hopefully we are not relegated to that in every restaurant we start going to now.
Yeah, who knows? Who knows what's going to happen? Well, listen, guys, thanks for joining us this week. We'll be back next week with another all new Got Your Ears On. So have a good week. Appreciate all of it. Don't forget, listen, like, and subscribe. Find us on Instagram and Twitter at Got Your Ears. You can look for us on Facebook as well, Got Your Ears On. And everybody have a great week. We'll see you next time. You've been listening to Got Your Ears On.